Next on Discovery Channel Radio, Tool Belt Diva with Norma Valley from Discovery Home Channel.
Hey, welcome to Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Channel Radio. I'm your host, Norma Valley, the Tool Belt Diva. And we are with Chris Tyrone. Welcome back, Chris.
Hey, thank you.
Chris is the ultimate fixer-upper, and you left me here. You left us here on a cliffhanger with that house. So you, just to bring everyone up to date, whoever hasn't gotten to hear this story, you bought a house that was, like we had said, should have been condemned.
Just about.
Just about should have been condemned. No plumbing, no electric. How many tons of garbage?
A 30-yard dumpster, a 20-yard dumpster, and tons that he had taken away.
So you left us to at a story where you're in the bathroom, and that was the first project that, besides letting the house be cleaned out and aired out, and you brought, you know, the heat in and all of that, the first room you wanted to tackle was the bathroom.
Absolutely.
And then you were... one day noticed that you were walking towards the bowl and noticed that it started to...
The floor would depress.
Depressing.
A good 3 to 4 inches down.
Now, that's a, like, seriously...
That's a serious amount of
that's like
flexion.
Exactly. Like flexing down. Okay. So like a cartoon.
So since the floor, since the floor of the bathroom was still intact, I didn't want to tear that up. So I went down to the room below, which we hadn't really defined what it was going to be yet, and it had holes, a number of holes in the ceiling, and I wasn't about to try to patch them. So to sort of discover why the floor was doing this, I thought, let me remove the ceiling from that room below.
So you can look from underneath.
Exactly. And what I discovered was, for anybody that doesn't know, a 2x6 is actually a nominal dimension. It's really 1.5x5.5.
Right.
And I'm saying that for a reason, because... 4-inch PVC pipe, that's measured on the inside. So the outer part of a PVC is actually 4.5. What I discovered when I took the ceiling down was that 4 of the ceiling joists that go all the way across the room and are principally responsible for keeping that floor intact.
Yeah.
They had cut 5-inch holes in this 5.5-inch board to run the PVC through. And once they had done that, they just put up a ceiling and left.
No.
That. Indeed. It was one of three what I call head-slapping moments. I sort of stood there and literally slapped my head in awe.
I can't...
That anyone would do that and leave it that way.
So you mean they were actually cut out?
There were 5-inch holes in a 5.5-inch wide board.
But there's nothing... there's nothing left.
There's nothing left.
It wasn't like they were notched.
No, oh, no, no, no.
No, because there was nothing...
There was nothing left. What was holding that part up
was a half an inch piece of wood.
A half an inch piece of plywood and then whatever little slate was on top of that and whatever screws were actually holding that together.
Jeez, man. You see how... That is so scary. That somebody went in, a professional went in and did that.
Apparently.
Wow.
So what I ended up having to do is I had to sister together 16-foot-long 2x6s, 4 of them, all the way across the room. Now I've solved all the downstream problems.
No, you know
problems.
What? Define sister.
Okay.
Sister together so everyone knows what we're talking about.
When you take a board that is somehow structurally damaged, you can then put right next to it another board that is structurally sound. So you don't have to really remove the damaged one. You're providing support where the damaged part
is. It's like a splint.
Exactly. And you'll screw it from both sides. From the damaged side through to the new one, and from the new one through to the damaged side.
Right.
The entire length of where you're trying to do the repair. And naturally, if you really want structural support, that's why I use 16-footers. I made each end of the new ones stand on the walls of either side.
Okay.
So once that was done, I had solved all the downstream problems of this toilet. I was really happy. I mean, the people at the diner were really tired of seeing us. So I was like, I've got a toilet now. But but no. Because now that I've sistered these in, the path that the plumbing was taking was no longer there. So I had to remove all of that plumbing from the top into the upper part of the basement, move it all down below these newly sistered joists, and rebuild the entire thing.
Right. Big project.
Big project.
You had mentioned that there was altogether three head-slapping moments.
Three head-slappers.
Okay. What was that? Was one.
That was
which
one.
Was more than a head. That was like a knock you off your feet head
Definitely.
Slapper. What were the other two?
The second one was I had set up an impromptu workshop that sort of has become my ground zero for this house, all the work
which
that
was
I do.
So necessary.
I mean, big time.
I mean, what would you have, seriously, anyone that would consider doing this type of fixer up, or you need a shop?
You need a shop.
Okay.
And I was fortunate to have a 24 by 24 two car garage that I've taken over as my wood shop.
Right.
You've been there.
Yes, I have.
The second head slapper was definitely when I was removing the floor of the breezeway.
Okay.
And I found...
Now, wait. The floor of the... This was that had the wall that you could, as you said last week.
Right.
That it had a molded wall that was thoroughly saturated for years that you could... You literally
could stick my hand through.
Your hand
absolutely.
Through.
That room, the only thing that is original in that room from when we bought the house was the brick wall that was the outer wall of that garage.
Okay.
Front wall, back wall, roof.
Everything else new.
Floors, sidewall, completely removed. And that room has always been there, but none of it is, except
right.
for that one little brick, is
right.
actually the original. When I was removing the floor of that room, sweeping, pulling up wood, I found this maybe 4 or 5 inch piece of Romex, which for folks that don't know is basically two wires that are with a protective jacket on it. I see this little piece of Romex coming up off of the floor, going for about 4 inches along the floor and then disappearing again.
Hmm.
I was like, What is that?
What is that?
So I go down in the basement with the flashlight, and I look to see where it's going, and I realize that that is the one wire that's going into the garage that I'm running all of my tools
Lord.
On for the last year. And when I find it in the basement, I discover that when they ran out of length of wire, so they got another piece of wire, and they just kind of twisted it together bare in the basement.
Unbelievable.
So that was the second head slapper, because I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, I could have easily burned my house
totally.
Down, and I would have had no idea why it happened.
Right.
So that was the second one.
Wow. So you realize, now I have a major electrical problem.
Right.
So and a new project.
A new project.
Yay-hoo!
I built a 40-amp, 6-space sub-panel in the garage and ran back the appropriate gauge of wire and went from there.
Jeez, that's a good thing that you know all that you do about every aspect of construction. Seriously.
Well, read.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's very important.
All right, so that was the second head slapper.
The third one was when I had to restructure the ceiling of that breezeway. If I can lay out the house a little bit, you have a main house, a small breezeway, and then a garage.
Right.
Okay. I had to restructure the ceiling of that because of that water problem. Needed to change the pitch of the roof there so that this water problem would not continue.
Of course.
When I began to do this restructuring, there was a door, an entrance that had been blocked off to the garage that I decided to open and make life a lot easier to travel through. And what I discovered when I did that was that the two of the main joists that hold up the roof of the garage were literally sitting on just the top of a door jamb. They had no bolts in them, no screws in them. They were just sitting on top of the...
I'm speechless here. And I'm realizing we're on radio, so no one can see my facial expressions. Seriously, I have a gaping hole in my face. My eyes are like plates. Wow.
Yeah, so that required major structural... redoing
you of... You must have been like, am I hallucinating?
Well, it's really...
They weren't nothing. Just sitting there.
Sitting on the top of the door jamb.
Oh, goodness me. All right, well, Chris, I want to get to a point where I know that you're living comfortably in this house, but in the meantime, we're going to take a little break. So stay with us. We'll be right back with more Tool Belt Diva right here on Discovery Channel Radio. My favorite accessory. I've always wanted one since I was a little girl. So I treated myself. It screams empowerment. I'm talking totally huge. The shine, the sparkle, the razzle dazzle. Of course it goes with my favorite belts. And it could drive a 4-inch screw like a knife through butter, baby.
Tool Belt Diva, Friday at 9 and Sunday at 8:30.
Only on Discovery Home Channel.
If you'd like to ask the Tool Belt Diva a home improvement question, just call 1-877-33-SERIOUS and dial channel number 135 for Discovery Channel Radio.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Channel Radio. We have Chris Tyrone here, who is the ultimate fixer-upper. Mr. Perseverance. I mean, all that you encountered on this home that really, I can't even imagine you and your wife in there thinking, where do we start? where do we start? So I want to take everyone to the point back where you decided that the first room was going to be the bathroom. Then you went, you moved on downstairs, and you worked on the breezeway. Is that it?
Actually, the second room that we worked on was a bedroom.
Okay.
Because my wife and I wanted to have some type of a haven. Some room that was completely finished, well-painted, beautiful floors, electric works perfectly, nice closet. A place that we could go into and close the door and pretend that the rest of it wasn't there.
Well, which is smart. And, you know, I think for people that, because that's a very popular thing to do these days, is to buy fixer-uppers. Some people are flipping them.
Mm-hmm.
We had some house flippers on Tool Belt Diva.
I heard that show.
Yeah. And the other is just people basically wanting to buy a home that they may not be able to afford a brand new home or a home in a great condition, or they want this particular home because of the area and it may be run down and they want to fix it up themselves. So what are the words of advice? I think so far, from what I understand, your experience was let's make it, you know, warm.
Right.
Let's have electric,
yep.
Running water,
mm-hmm.
Bathroom, important.
Absolutely.
The next room was logically for you and your wife, a place to sleep.
Exactly.
So, the bathroom, then the bedroom.
Well, at that point, we started to move into for me, honestly, I can say that despite the insanity, all of it has been a pleasure.
Okay.
It's a very well-rounded experience. It has forced me to deal with aesthetic considerations, engineering considerations,
sure.
Technical aspects of things. I mean, it's the broad palette of, I mean, it's mind exercise. Ultimately, it's body exercise when you're working. But a tremendous amount of thought has to go into doing this.
Right.
And once we reach the point where, when systems were functioning properly,
right.
Then it became time to deal with beautifying, making it an image of who we are. So what I would do is, like what we did with the kitchen, was literally gutted it to the studs, started from nothing, and then went through catalogs and read and books, magazines, and had discussions about what we like and began to create this vision of what each room would look like.
Right.
And that's just a pleasure because I could bring my wife more into it.
So basically, once you got to these two rooms ready, you could take your time with, well, you see, for me, honestly, I would need the kitchen.
Well, the kitchen took eight months.
It did.
It took 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's why you were working on those little burners on a microwave.
Right, right. Right,
all that time.
The little stove that could. We still have it. We'll never throw it
away. Aw, how cute.
It's so romantic.
Aw. But you were able to take your time and pick out the things that you really loved. I mean,
right.
you obviously put your heart in. So this was not a house you were going to flip.
No.
This is a house that you want to plant roots.
To hold on to, sure.
You know, and you know, if I may say, in the interim of all that, you got a little baby on the way.
The light of my life.
The light of your life. And I'm sure that was a big motivator to get things done.
It was. Seeing my extremely pregnant wife, because my wife before the pregnancy was literally 93 pounds and 5 feet tall.
Right.
And she delivered a daughter that was 9 pounds, 13 ounces.
Well, because she has...
The most pregnant woman I've ever seen.
Yes. Yeah, well, she's a tiny little thing, and you're a big guy.
Her tummy would come into the room at least 5 minutes before she did. I'm serious.
You're like, I've got to get this woman a decent home to live
right.
in with the baby.
Seeing her standing over the little stove and cooking stuff was just, that was definitely a large
room. Wow.
So we wailed through that room, and one thing that I do want to say to people who are not completely horrified and are still want to consider, you know, projects like this, the money that you save by doing it yourself, if you're a little savvy with the money that you have remaining, you can just get to a higher level than you would be otherwise. The,
right.
The appliances that we have in the kitchen are absolutely top shelf.
Right.
And we can definitely point to the money that we saved in by me doing it myself that we reinvested back. We took that sort of arbitrary number.
Exactly.
The kitchen costs $30,000.
Wow.
Okay, but that's including the appliances.
Right.
And we spent more than half of it on our appliances.
Right. Right.
Because if we had to take $10,000, $12,000 to have a crew come in, demolish, gut, insulate,
no.
wire,
mm-mm.
plumb, everything that I did, how much would we have left to even buy cabinets, let alone
And certainly appliances. Not all the state-of-the-art appliances
exactly.
that you wanted.
Exactly.
And plus, there's the whole sense of accomplishment.
Right.
Yeah, that is awesome.
So what we've been doing, and this is sort of the fast-forward to the happy ending, which isn't an ending. It's an ongoing process. But that's what we've been doing. We got a room completely down. Work with our colleagues.
So you basically, you've been bringing each room down to the studs.
Absolutely.
And rebuilding.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Because it's really the only way to do it. You look at antiquated wiring. When we looked at the original panel back then, I know that what's in the walls. We found a perfect example. The insulation in the walls is one of the very, very original insulation products that was put on the market. And what they would do
is... How old was the house?
1941.
Okay.
They put balsam wool dust inside of tar-covered bags and then just stapled it up. That was the insulation.
Wow.
Now, of course, over the decades, that dust has compressed down into the bottom 2 feet.
Sure.
And so the rest of it is completely uninsulated, and the bottom of it is a total fire hazard.
Unbelievable.
So
it all dries. Sure. It's
right.
Like kindling.
Exactly. Seeing all that stuff was really the decider that we need to start from the beginning.
I need to ask you also... At any point, did you say, you know what, I want to just knock this whole place down?
Never.
Why?
Well, I'm half Sicilian and half Hungarian.
Whoa.
Okay.
Two
pretty hard-headed cultures.
I know about that, man.
And every time that I would see these things that I literally would be offended by the work that was there. Every time that there was what seemed to be an insurmountable problem, I said, no, it steeled my resolve to bring this house back.
You were like, come on, bring it,
that's
man.
Right, that's
bring
right.
Bring it.
Totally.
Bring it. And it just motivated you to
absolutely.
Say, you know what, no matter what, I am not giving up
that's
on
right.
this.
And it continues to this day. I'm currently turning the basement into a really nice place to work and play.
Nice
and
hangout room.
Just finished doing all the electrical harness and all
sweet.
Of the plumbing for two washers and two dryers.
Sweet, sweet.
So we're all set on that.
And if you could give advice, you know, to somebody, this is obviously not something that an average person would get involved in, a fixer-upper like this, the way you have, but what kind of advice would you give somebody that's going to look to buy, you know, a house that needs some work? And is there any one thing that you think they absolutely must consider before they jump into a project like that?
Be humble.
Really?
Look at the situation. Be patient. Be honest about your abilities. Be unafraid to make mistakes. Be unafraid to consult experts. And then persevere.
Right.
I've encountered issues that were definitely beyond my abilities at that moment.
Right.
And by having that humility and going and talking to people and reading everything that I could find, I would accomplish things that I had no idea that I could accomplish before. So I would say that patience, that humility, and communicate. If you have a spouse, communicate all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Always be in. Let them know what you're doing. Get them involved in the process. Because it can be...
It could break up a marriage.
It could.
What
it
was
could.
That movie? The Money
The Money Pit, right?
The Money Pit with the house with Michael Douglas and...
I forget who was in it. Tom Hanks, I think, or... I forget.
I don't know. Was it Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks and Shelley Long, I
that's
think.
What it was. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah, it could, but no, but not for you guys. You guys persevered. You have a beautiful marriage, a beautiful baby, and now a beautiful home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Chris Tyrone, thank you so much. You have an unbelievable story. A lot of people, I'm sure, were at first appalled and then, like, really impressed by your work and just an example of what somebody can accomplish.
Thanks a lot. It's definitely a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more Tool Belt Diva right here on Discovery Channel Radio.
For years, home improvement shows have been geared towards guys. And I say, why should they have all the fun? Say goodbye to honey-do lists, because on my show, honey, you do it yourself.
Don't miss Tool Belt Diva, Friday at 9.
Oh, just watch my show, Capiche? Discovery Home Channel. Gotta watch it.
Discovery Home Channel is available 24 hours a day on digital cable and satellite. Call today and ask for Discovery Home Channel.
If you'd like to ask the Tool Belt Diva a home improvement question, just call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and dial channel number 135 for Discovery Channel Radio.
Hey, welcome back everyone to Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Channel Radio. I'm your host, Norma Valley. And I am catching up with a Tool Belt Diva, somebody that did a show with me. Hello, Kim.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing great. It's so good to hear from you. How is the walkway? Let me just let everyone know. We put in a concrete walkway at Kim's house. But first, we took the old concrete walkway out that was cracked and horrible looking. How is it?
It's great. It's settled in just great, and we're real happy with it.
Do you like the way we expanded that? Remember that little pathway on the side that was too narrow to walk through?
Yeah, we can actually get our garbage cans
out
front without having to trail onto the grass.
I gotta tell you something, Kim. I don't know if I admitted this to you, but let me just explain. Kim is the cutest thing on the planet. She's just absolutely adorable. And we used jackhammers. I mean, we used first went at it with sledgehammers to tear out the old concrete pathway. But then we used jackhammers. And, I don't know how many people have actually picked up a jackhammer. It's heavy and big.
Heavy.
Now, Kim, how tall are you, Kim?
5'3¾".
You're so cute. Those three quarters really count. No, but you're just a tiny little petite thing. And the jackhammer was seriously just about as tall as you were, no?
Yeah, I think it came to probably just right above my chest.
So I got scared for a minute, girl. Seriously, I'm thinking, gosh, I hope she can do this. But I know that together we could definitely get the job done. So I was ready to like do it like a two-man auger, like have a two-man jackhammer situation with you. But listen, man, you grabbed that thing. You took total charge, total control of it. And we tore up that old concrete pathways. It was fantastic.
It was. It was very, not humbling, but I never imagined that I'd be able to do something like that. My family, when they saw the show, were cracking up.
They were in shock. They're like, did they get a double for her? Did she have a stand-in doing that work? No, it was you. And your husband was really, he was really impressed to actually see the after, once it was completed. But I bet when he watched the show and saw you manhandling that jackhammer, he was just absolutely floored.
Yeah, he actually was at training camp when it aired. So he had a bunch of his cycling teammates sitting there watching. He emailed everybody to make sure that they were going to watch it when it aired.
So he first got the reaction of his teammates.
Oh, yeah. They were all very impressed. They thought it was really cool.
Oh, yeah. And they were all like, you got a hot wife and she's strong, too. So cool. It was really funny too. I remember I had a little panic moment when we were doing your pathway. We weren't ready for the concrete truck. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Now this is something that viewers would never know. The concrete has a curing time, and it was very hot that day. And when the concrete came and it's spinning around in this big old truck, there's a certain amount of time there that the concrete is still good before it starts setting up.
Uh huh.
And did we let you know that we were a little concerned about that?
I could feel a little stress.
Well, because we had to send them around the block a bunch of times until we were ready. I mean, as much as the project is real, it's a real live project that we're doing in 2 days, we are shooting a TV show. So there are certain considerations that viewers don't see with lighting, and we have to hold for this sound or hold for rain. Right. It had rained on us too, remember? It's a miracle that we got it done.
We had everything except for hail that
we did.
2 days.
We had rain, then we had heat and sun and locusts. And what else did we have? You know what we had? We had a really good time.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a really, really good time. Thank you. You know, Kim, you were a pleasure to get to know, and your husband, too, was just absolutely adorable. And I'm glad that you guys have a brand new little walkway, entranceway into your house. It looks like new.
Yes.
And you should be super proud of yourself.
Our neighbors ended up doing the same thing.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Copycats. You did it first. You're cutting edge.
Yeah.
Kim, it was great catching up with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll talk soon. Take care, hon.
Okay, you too.
Ciao. All right, thanks everyone for tuning in to Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Channel Radio. I'm your host, Norma Valley. And you can learn more about the radio show and my show on Discovery Home Channel. Just go to discovery.com and click on Discovery Home. Oh, yeah.
my favorite accessory. I've always wanted one since I was a little girl, so I treated myself. It screams empowerment. I'm talking totally huge. The shine, the sparkle, the razzle-dazzle. Of course it goes with my favorite belts. And it could drive a 4-inch screw like a knife through butter, baby.
Tool Belt Diva, Friday at 9 and Sunday at 8:30.
Only on Discovery Home Channel.